Okay, so we are continuing chapter or volume 6 tonight, and we've been discussing different areas of the laws of kashrut. We've discussed a lot of different gzerot of chazal the last few weeks, things which last week we spoke about things which are due to danger. But before that, we're talking about patakum and bishakum and all those things, different areas where the food itself was kosher, but there was other peripheral problems. Tonight we're changing track a little bit. We're talking about actual ingredients and actual ingredients which may be non-kosher. And obviously this is an area where over the last couple hundred years really, but there's been a complete overhaul in terms of the way that things are done, and it's much more complicated than it was once upon a time. I've mentioned already a number of times in the context of patakum, for example, that as I talk about bread that you can purchase from non-Jews, that was when bread was flour and water, and that was it. And nowadays there are, dozens of different ingredients that go into a simple loaf of bread, and lots of different ingredients that go into lots of things. Makes it much more complicated. In order to answer these questions, there are new questions that have come up, and in order to know, whether something is kosher or not, and different ingredients that go into it, obviously one has to have a bit of a knowledge. And not just in the halachot themselves, but in terms of the production, in terms of the methods, and what goes behind that. So tonight, you can see this is the table of contents. We won't get through all of this evening. We've got the kosher of medicine, of toothpaste, honey-related products, shellac, confections, glaze, wax, fruit and vegetables, and gelatin. So we definitely won't get through all of that. Maybe we'll split the share into two. We'll see. But these are different things which are in the modern food industry or not food industry. And the question's raised is about the kashrut or not. So we'll start off with medicine. And this is something maybe which people don't really think about. I mean, when people do think about it, it's before Pesach, rightly or wrongly. You always have these lists that are coming out, and everyone's asking whether the tablets that they take are or aren't kosher for Pesach. But before we get to Pesach, we can ask the question of, throughout the year, is it something that we need to be looking at on different types of medicine? Do we need to be looking for a heksha? The reason is that's required or not. Just at the outset, even if we come to the conclusion that most things are permissible, unless it's still important to be aware of the issues and understand, why that is, where that wouldn't apply. Let me say from the outset, the first thing, maybe we can see it's in the source already. The first source is from the Gemara Psachim. This is the main sukkah dealing with things which are forbidden to eat and things which are forbidden to derive benefit from, and the halachot in terms of tonight's topic are going to come from here. You see the Gemara's discussion in source number one. It says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bakol Mitrapin, Chutz Me'atzei Asherah. So Rabbi Yaakov says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that one can use any object in order to heal oneself if somebody's ill. And again, medicine, going back a few hundred or thousand years, was not quite what it is today. But different objects that you can use to heal yourself, you can use anything except for something which comes from the wood of an Asherah tree. Wood or maybe, but something that comes from an Asherah tree, which is a tree, type of tree which was designated for Avodah Zarah, or idolatry. So the Gemara, again, so the Gemara tells us that, the Gemara tells us that you can use anything, you can essentially derive benefit by using it as a for medicinal purposes, or anything, except for a tree which came from Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chidami, so what is the case? What exactly are the circumstances that we are referring to? If you say it's a case where there is danger, and this is a question of Pekuach Nefesh, so if you don't say Shalanami, so then even this tree, you should be able to use. But if there is no danger, so then you would think that anything which it's forbidden to derive benefit from, or if it's something which you're consuming, anything which is forbidden to eat, that would be forbidden as well. So what's the case where all the other things, again, when the Gemara says bakol, it says anything, means anything which is an ordinarily forbidden substance. So why is it that the Gemara says that you can use a forbidden substance in order to heal yourself, just not from this tree, from this idolatry? Answers the Gemara, lo lam de ika sakana. No, we really are talking about a case of where there is danger. It is because nefesh afilo achi atzei asher alo. Even so, if it's coming from this tree, which is used for Avodah Zarah, that would not be allowed. As we've learned in the past, that Pikuach Nefesh trumps just about everything. Certain things it does not trump. And one of those is Avodah Zarah. Now, there's a bit of a discussion in the Rishonim exactly what the conditions are in terms of what you would be using this tree for. Does it refer to the fact that actually worshipping Avodah Zarah? Does it refer to something else? I'm not going to get into that now. But what we see from this, leaving aside that example, what we see from this Gemara very clearly, and something which, you know, was kind of obvious before, should have been obvious, that if there's a case of sakana, and we're dealing with a, you know, a life-threatening situation, we don't look at whether the medicine is kosher or non-kosher, whatever it is, whatever substance it comes from, that is allowed and that's permitted, and there's no questions about that. So when we're talking about medicine, very important, first of all, we need to distinguish two questions we need to ask. We'll go back to the sources soon and we'll build it up. But two distinctions we need to make. First of all, who is the person taking the medicine? You know, what is the circumstance? We've just discussed a chole sheyesh bo sakana, a case where it's pikuach nefesh. Essentially, these are the three categories of sick people which we get from Hilchot Shabbat. There's also a discussion amongst the poskim whether the same category, the same definitions of those categories which apply in Hilchot Shabbat would apply in other areas of halacha. But either way, there are three categories. The first is a chole sheyesh bo sakana, as we've just said, which is somebody who is really whose life is in danger. It's pikuach nefesh, and they can take anything. There's no question. Second category is what's called a chole she'en bo sakana. So that is a sick person who is not in a life-threatening, not in a life-threatening situation, but nonetheless they are severely ill. You know, maybe that they are confined to bed, they're not able to get up, maybe other things. But that's what's called, what's classified as sick, as seriously sick. The third category is what's called mechush ba'alma, meaning somebody who doesn't have, is not considered as sick, but just has, you know, just has a headache or something like that. And then, of course, there's a healthy person. So it's just important to make these distinctions from the beginning, because the halakha, we'll go through the sugyas, may not be the same, you know, for somebody who is classified as a chole, as opposed to somebody who's classified as healthy, or just as a male. That's the first thing. Just in terms of Hilchot Shabbat, you know, we've discussed this in the past as well. But Chazal made a gzera that on Shabbat, you can't take medicine because of gzerah, what's called shchikat tzammanim. The medicine was made from plants and different things, that there was a concern. You would come to crush it, you would come to make the medicine, and you would come to grind it on Shabbat itself, which is one of the melachot. That is a gzerah against somebody who has a mechush ba'alma, somebody who's not considered sick, somebody who already is sick. So then they would be allowed to take the meds. And we'll see here as well, there's going to be a lot more room for leniency to say that if, you know, there's questionable kashrut, whatever it is, certainly if it's going to be the Rabbanan, we'll see that Rabbanan would not have made that gzera on somebody who is sick in many cases, though that b'makom choli, in a place of sickness, Chazal did not make that gzera. Okay, so that's the first question in terms of, you know, who's asking, in terms of taking the medicine that's going to make a difference. The second point that we need to consider, because what type of medicine are we talking about? And two things here. First of all, in terms of whether it's a tablet, you know, something which is first of all, whether it's a tablet or a capsule or a syrup, that's going to be very significant in terms of the truth. And second of all, again, what is the purpose of it? If it is a prescribed medicine, you know, an antibiotic or something like that that a doctor would prescribe, that's one thing. If it is a multivitamin supplement or something, you know, which may as well may be necessary, but it's not necessarily hasn't been prescribed, then the halachot may be different there as well. Let me just show you from the Is It Kosher website, just to see the difference between these two categories. Again, it doesn't go into great detail over here, but for example, if you look on the KLVD Is It Kosher, you see prescription only medicines. It says no patient should interfere with taking prescribed medicine without consulting a doctor, which again should go without saying. Also, those prescribed medicines are permitted. Those who prefer not to take gelatine capsules are advised to ask their physician if they can prescribe the medication in alternative form. We'll discuss in greater detail as to why that is and why they say here. But notice that over here, we're talking about prescription medicines, and it says those who prefer not to take, this is going to be a machloket, are advised to ask. That is one thing. If we look at what it says over here under multivitamins, right, it says over here, whenever possible, it is preferable to take tablets rather than gelatine capsules. Now, again, it could be that multivitamins generally is not prescribed and these are over the counter, but certainly the halachic questions, you know, and the leniency that we might have had for prescribed medicine in terms of those capsules is much greater than what might be for multivitamins. Okay, so just that's just sort of setting up the questions that we might have. Let's go back into the sources and see. So the assumption is if we have our question is if we have a medicine, we have a pill, we have a tablet, we'll get to syrups later, which may have a non-kosher ingredient in it. Is that something which is permitted? Is that something that we have to look for specifically one that's got a hechsher or not? So just again, I said at the beginning, we don't have to know the halachot of these things. We have to know what the reality is. But in terms of the reality, the vast majority of tablets and things and medicines, certainly the active ingredients that are in most of our medicines would not pose any sort of a kashrut problem. Most of those are going to be synthetic things or things which are produced in a lab. And there would be no problem over there. Where you may have a problem sometimes, and again, this is before I get to the syrups and things that you can taste. But where you may have a problem is in the additional things which are put into the tablets, you know, things like stabilizers, things like binding agents, things like sweetening agents sometimes. And those very often can be from plant or animal-based sources. From animal-based sources, that would obviously be a question. And from plant-based sources as well, can pose. I'll just mention, you know, a very interesting story. One of the ingredients which can pose a problem is what's called glycerin, which we'll talk about more when we get to toothpaste. But it's something which is used. It's a chemical and it's used in very many foodstuffs as well. And it can be made from plant-based. Synthetically it can be made as well, but it also can come from animal sources. And there's a famous question, there's actually Chavod written about it, when Coca-Cola first applied for, I think it was back in the 1920s, when they tried to get a kashrut license, they went to the Rav of Atlanta, Rabbi Geffen, and they asked him if it was kosher or not. And one of the ingredients was this glycerin, which came from an animal source. Now, it was over there, it was batel b'shishim, but it was a question of it was not inadvertent, they were putting it there and it was part of the mixture. So Rabbi Geffen, you know, had a look, he saw it was a machloket in the poskim. He went back to Coke and he said to them, look, you know, it's questionable whether I can give you the extra or not. What would be better is if you actually change the recipe and you move to, not change the recipe, they're still putting in the same ingredient, but move to a plant-based or rather an animal-based one. And that's what they did. And to this day, Coke is kosher because that original rabbi had the chutzpah to go back and tell Coke to change their recipe. So. But that's one of the things we're talking about. Also on Pesach, this often comes up as a question because sometimes you have starches, which are wheat-based, which are used as binding agents in the tablets, things like that. So let's go back to the book. So the first question which we can ask, and again, just a little bit more background before we see the source inside. But the first question we can ask is, you know, I've mentioned all these different chemicals and all these things which maybe came from animals or came from plants. You know, you might say to me, when you have a tablet in front of you, you can't see it, you can't taste it, you have no idea. If you didn't come to the shir or you didn't, you know, study pharmacology, you wouldn't know what was inside. And maybe we don't have to be worried about something which is, once it's in powder form or tablet form, is no longer really edible as that original substance. And there certainly is an argument to go in that way, what's called nifsal me'achilat kelev. Don't remember if we spoke about this before Pesach or not. But to say that essentially it no longer has taste in the first instance, and therefore it's not considered like a foodstuff anymore, and the question shouldn't begin. So the opposkin that would say that. The difficulty with that is then we get to a sfar of what's called achshaveh. Achshaveh means when you have something which is, even if it's objectively, you know, lost its taste, it's lost its significance as a substance, the fact that I'm coming along and eating it, the fact that I'm taking it as a medicine, shows that I am then giving it significance, And then I have to revert back to the original status of the food stuff or whatever it is. And this is a big discussion in the poskim. Do we say achshuvei for a sick person? You know, if we have a food, for example, by Pesach, it's discussed that if you had a piece of chametz, which was burnt, you know, burnt to a crisp, to the point that it's not fitting to be eaten anymore, and nobody would, in their right mind, pick it up and eat it, that would not be considered chametz. But if somebody did decide to come along and eat it, that would be called achshuvei. So machloket, whether we hold that or not. But that's where you have a person who wants to eat it because they find it tasty. Yeah, it's not the person, you know, finds glycerol tasty. It's not that they find whatever it is. It's that this is their medicine. So there are poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, for example, says that we don't say achshuvei when it comes to medicines. Other poskim, the Shagas Arya is the most famous, says actually, you know, even by medicines, we would say achshuvei, and therefore, that's our starting point, that we would still have potentially a problem if there's a non-kosher ingredient to be found in this. But then we get to our Gemara over here in source number 2, and this is going to be the other leniency and the other way we'll look. Gemara tells us as follows. Again, it's from the same sugya. It's just the following amud before we saw the kafhei amud aleph, the summer bet. It says, Gemara ma'bav ashi ashkechele ravina d'shayefle levarte begu harki da'ola. It said this is in the context the Gemara is talking about all these different isurei hana'ah. Things that you can't get benefit from. Orla is the example that's used over here because it's something which not only can you not eat it, but you can't benefit at all. And Mabrav actually saw that Ravina was using something that was produced, this paste that was produced from orla, which is forbidden to derive benefit from, and he was giving it to his daughter as some sort of a cream or some sort of a medical remedy. So he said to him, so obviously I understand if this was shata sakana, if this was a question of pikuach nefesh, so of course we're not talking about avodah zara, right? It's a question of pikuach nefesh, of saving a life. You can use this as medicine. However, when it's not shata sakana, would we say that as well? And then Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one is, this was a case where, the patient in question had a very high fever and it was like a pikuach nefesh question. But the second answer, and this is going to be relevant for us, is Ikad Amri, midi derech hana'a ka'avidna. It says, am I deriving benefit from it in the normal manner? Right, and you can see over here the translation, just the, those three senses. It says the usual way to derive benefit from these olives is to use them after they've become ripe, so that the oil can be drawn out. And here it was done in a way that was not this was not the usual manner. He was using them before they were ripe. And this is a very important principle that we have, that where we talk about something which is forbidden to be eaten, or we talk about something which is forbidden to get benefit from, that's when it's in the normal manner. The Gemara here clearly states that to derive benefit from these olives, which is not in the usual way, not in the usual manner, over here it was permitted to do so. Now, when we say that it's permitted, does that mean it is permitted altogether, or that it is permitted from the Torah, but it would still be asur min rabbanan? That's what the Ran explains over here in source number 3. Says afa gavta min rabbanan miha asur. Even though it's still forbidden rabbinically to derive benefit, Chazal said, Torah said you can't get benefit. You can't get benefit. The Torah meant it in the usual way, but then extended that to any other way as well. Nonetheless, b'makom choli lo gazru rabbanan b'sorayin ashal d'Ibrahim. Nonetheless, when the sages came and added in decrees, they did not do it in a place of illness. And therefore, it's allowed in this case. Okay? And this is where the introduction I said at the beginning becomes very, very important. Because if we are relying on this leniency, in this case, it's going to be deriving benefit. But if we're talking about pills, we're talking about, non-kosher ingredients, which maybe you could get benefit from in the first place. But we're talking about eating. So not derech achila. We'd say that would be permitted on a Torah level. It would still be forbidden on a rabbinic level. So if this is all that we're relying on, if the person who wants to take the pill is considered as a chole she'en bo sakana, they're considered as a sick person, that would be okay. That would be allowed. However, if they are healthy, or just mechush ba'alma, as we said, Maybe they want to take a pill that has a that's questionable. Maybe not so simple. Maybe then if we're talking about the question about vitamins and supplements and things like that, for somebody who is completely healthy, they just want to, you know, strengthen themselves even more, strengthen their immune system. Since they aren't defined as a sick person, if there is this question of non-kosher substances, there might still be a rabbinic question in place. So that's why the question will depend on, you know, how severe the illness is and what we're talking about. But this is what the Shulchan Aruch brings down as well in source number 4. It says, "B'shali solim mitrapim b'mkom sakana." Right? Any other prohibited items we can use, with the exception of idolatry, we can use to heal somebody if it's not in a place of danger. Sorry, when it is in a place of danger. Afilo derchanatan, even the usual way that one would derive benefit. Again, if it's a case of pikuach nefesh, you can do whatever needs to be done, even if it's the usual way. Shelo b'mkom sakana, it is not a question of pikuach nefesh. But again, we're talking about polesha in b'sakana. It says kederachanatan asur, through the normal way. A normal way of getting benefit would be forbidden. Shelo kederachanatan mutar, but if it's not the normal way, that would be allowed. Now the question is, so what do we mean when we say not the normal way? So he has a response from Rav Shlomo Kluger, who talks about fish oil, which comes from a fish. He said, "B'echad sheyesh lo minchush gadol, im mutar lishtot leufua shuman dagim tmeim." So the person has a Yeravia, says mechush gadol, meaning that he's ill, he's in a lot of pain. Is he allowed to drink this? The doctors have recommended this oil, which comes from non-kosher fish. He says, I would say this is allowed several reasons. It seems that to drink oil, it's not the normal way of doing it. It's not the normal way of benefiting. Oil, normally you cook or whatever it is. Just to drink it as it is, that is not the normal way of benefit, and therefore it would be a virakter of banan, and therefore it would be a go down to level of rabbinic prohibition. Would be allowed even where it's not a pikuach nefesh. The Ramah does point out over here an important note in this whole sugya that says ve'ein matilin shum davar isur lechole im yochalas otar fa bete. Well, if we're talking about a situation where you can easily reach the where it's easily available to get something which is permitted, so then you wouldn't rely on this leniency and use something which is forbidden. Again, of course, if there's no danger, you know, if you have to wait a little bit, you have to ask the doctor or whatever it is, so that would be preferable. So again, just to summarize up to this point, you know, if it's pikuach nefesh, obviously there's no question. We don't ask questions whether it's kosher or not. If it's not pikuach nefesh, but it's a chole she'en bo sakana, and it is a pill which may have a medicine, which may have a non-kosher ingredient, so then preferable to ask the doctor if you could, you know, without losing any sort of medical benefit, if there was a substitute which didn't have any question, any kosher question, or had ekshas, then that would be better. And if there's not, so then one would be allowed to take that, and that would be fine. You know, one of the common examples as well, I didn't mention before, but in terms of the medicine which come with gelatin capsules, again, according to those poskim, that would forbid gelatin. The question is, over here you see in source number 7, this was in the OU Daily Halakha, and this was brought in the name of Belsky, who was the Posek of the OU for many years in America. It says, many medications are encased in gelatin capsules. May these be used? And he says, regarding medicines that are encased in hard gelatin capsules, Belsky said the minhag is to permit them for a chole. This is allowed. Why? It's based on the concept that a chole is permitted to consume non-kosher medicines, provided that one does so shelok derech achilato, in a way which is not the usual manner of consumption. Since it's uncommon to eat dried out plastic like gelatin capsules, one who is ill is permitted to swallow them. Okay, so that's in terms of, he then goes on to say, and again, not everybody agrees with this, but Rebelski's position was that when it comes to the soft gelatin capsules, it was a little bit more machmir, and therefore he says it should be noted this leniency applies only if kosher alternatives not available. Thus, as an example, one should not swallow Tylenol capsules since Tylenol tablets are readily available. So that's what we said before. If one can ask for something that doesn't have a question, then that would be better. But that's not always that's not always the case, and if not, that would be fine. So that's up till now. Up to this point, we've been discussing, you know, something like it's not the usual way of eating. And anytime where we have a tablet or we have a capsule, or we have something which doesn't really have a taste, or at best has a bitter taste, that would be considered as part of this idea of lo kederach achila tov, because it's not the normal way to just go along and, you know, eat things that don't have a taste or that taste particularly bitter. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually went one step further in this, and he said that when you look at the discussion in the poskim, you know, going back not even that long ago, I mentioned the Shagas Aryeh before, and she said, you know, they talk about these questions of eating these things and it's not eating in the normal way. You know, what is it they were talking about? For many years, many of these cases, we're talking about eating food. We're talking about if you have plants, if you have herbal remedies, you know, things like that, going back a few hundred years. That's the medicine that we're talking about, and you're eating it not in the normal way. Nowadays, when we're talking about tablets and capsules and all these kind of things, you're not even eating it in the first place. You are, you know, it's just a capsule that you swallow. It's not called eating. And therefore, just by virtue of the fact that you are swallowing a capsule, that may be enough to say that is not the normal way of eating, not eating at all, it's just swallowing. And therefore, we would have that leniency. But again, all that applies when we are dealing with something which doesn't have a taste. What happens if we have a medicine which does have a pleasant taste? You know, you might have sort of chewable tablets, maybe lozenges, liquid syrups and things like that. And very often these medicines have got ingredients and, you know, sweeteners and things to make them taste better so that you can consume them. And that's the question. And so Rav Zvi Pesach Frank was asked about this. Again, here it would be difficult to say what we said until now, that it's certainly not something bitter, because it's not bitter, and to say that it's not the usual way of eating it. And this is where, by the way, this is certainly regarding Pesach. We're much more machmir when it comes to syrups and these things which have taste. Also, just practically speaking, it's quite common that these kind of syrup medicines and things do have the binding agent or the agents in them which are chametz. So over there it does become a question. You know, this year people may remember that you know, the medicine, I don't remember which one it was, but so some of the kids' medicine which is normally available with the Hechsher for Pesach wasn't available this year because of COVID-19 and all the shortages. And the advice that was given was that you know, it should be sold to the non-Jew. But if it's needed over Pesach, that's what we were saying before, if somebody is sick and need that medicine and nothing else is available, then that could be used. So this year what people were told to do was that to keep that medicine to sell it along with all the chametz and sell to the non-Jew, but in a certain place where you know where it is. And it was when the sale was done, it was, you know, permission was asked that should it be needed, you know, that medicine could be borrowed by whoever it was. They could take it out and they could use it. But again, that's where we said that if somebody was sick, if it was just a mechush, as we said, it wouldn't be the same. So Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, who is the rabbi in Yerushalayim at going back about 60 years or so, was asked the following question. Nishalti, mi shetzalich litol samei marpeh asuyin ke'ibgulin ktanim, certain type of medicine, these round pills, and as we said until now, the medicine itself is bitter. Not exactly what pills he's referring to, but they've got sort of chocolate powder, some sort of sweets that are scattered on top of them in order to make them taste better. Is one allowed to swallow them? Right, so this taking us back to a few weeks ago, but this chocolate or whatever it is has is has got questions about its kashrut, whether it's because it's chalavakum or whether it's because it's got certain animal fats inside. Again, the medicine itself, as we said before, the active agent doesn't have any problem, but part of this medicine has got this food which has a taste, which has a pleasant taste, why it was put there, and that has got questionability regarding its kashrut. Is one allowed to take those, to take that medicine? So he says, Lichol amikei vanshem, again, our leniency, what we've been relying on until this point, of that it's not the normal way of eating, doesn't apply here, because this is the normal way of eating. Chocolate, whatever that's on. So he says, Lichol amikei vanshem mulavinum chubalin yachad, lesamem mulin chubalan yachad, since everything is mixed together. Haleze bichal shalok edel chanata. So first of all, the thing he says is, wait, not so sure. Maybe what you wanted to rely on before, there's not the normal way of eating it. You could still rely on it, i.e. the normal way of eating chocolate is eating chocolate. It's not, having it mixed into a book. He goes on. He says that's a possibility. He's not sure about that. He then goes on to discuss the idea over here of chatzishur. So that at the end of the day, that we know that there is a certain minimum amount for any forbidden food, a certain minimum amount from which you would become liable, from which you're eating, whether it's a kazayit or in different cases, different measures. And he says over here, mikom makom alay benidon shelefaneinu, we definitely don't have a share. We have less than a share of these problematic substances. Now, nonetheless, we'll say that we know that there is a principle of what's called chatzisha asumin haTorah. That we have a minimum amount from which one becomes liable. But even on a Torah level, to eat less than that would still be a problem. And this is where over here Rav Sipia Safran comes up with a tremendous chiddush. He says the whole din of chatzi shiur, that is something which applies regarding food. But maybe over here we're talking about medicine that would not apply. Right? He's going back to the original principle and he's explaining it. I'll just read the part which is in bold. He says, "B'davar she'enor oil achila, v'yesh minya shemoneh atavato milachol." He says, normally, why is it that the Torah said you can't eat a chatzi shiur? Because at the end of the day, even if you don't, but you might come to eat, you might come to eat more. And you'll get to a shiur eventually. He says over here, you're never going to get to a shiur. If you're just eating medicine, you're taking as much as you've been told you have to take. You're not going to take more than that. And therefore, how can you say chazil is true? How can you say that it might be combined and might ultimately come to a shiur? So that's the tremendous chiddush, but that's the psak of Sipa Safran, and he was willing to allow in that situation. Although he does at the end of the day, he mentions the svara, but he does leave it somewhat unresolved, as you can see in footnote number 7. Just this time what we said before, I'll just read out footnote number 7. I'll make it bigger. You can see. He says, Rav Frank, in the continuation of the tshuva, questions his own conclusion due to the possibility that perhaps swallowing a pill would be considered the normal manner of consumption, since the pill is not designed to be chewed or eaten normally. This is, again, this is what I mentioned before, and what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said. Essentially, you might think that it's not we're asking what's the normal manner of consumption, and the normal manner of consumption of a pill is to swallow the pill the way it is. That's why Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's not just, this is not really eating, this is just swallowing, which is some edible food at all. So that would be something else. Over here, in terms of this question, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has brought down, has a slightly different leniency as well. And this is brought in the Shemat Shabbat Kel Chata. He says, "B'trufot bizmanenu, b'derech chlal einzo derech achilatan, ma shemamtikim et ha'yisur al-day sukar." He says, at the end of the day, your problem is with the sugar or sweetener, the substance that's making it, so it's not going to be bitter, because that's not a problem at all. the actual substance, the medicine, that itself is bitter, it's still bitter. It just happens to be that you eat something else together with it. It says, Gama pilo kfar nifsa afilo mechad kelev, mutar gamba pesach. Again, that would apply in a case where we say that the prohibited substance is in the actual food that you can't taste. If the prohibited substance is like in the Shabbat of Sipa Zachfrank, in the sweetening agent, then that's far wouldn't apply. There is one more leniency, which the Poskim do talk about, and we'll just mention it briefly. And this comes, as a main from a surprising place, but the Gemara at the end of Masechet Pesachim talks about when you eat matzah and maror, what happens if you didn't ingest that food directly, but if you just swallowed without chewing, or if it was wrapped up in something else. So source number 10, Amarava Bala Matzah Yatzah. If a person just swallowed matzah without chewing it, he still fulfilled the mitzvah. Bala Maror Lo Yatzah. If he just swallowed maror without chewing, then he did not fulfill his obligation. And then where explains the reason over there is because you have to be able to taste the bitterness. Bala matzav malol, if you swallowed them both together, they matzay yatzay them all matzav. Then you fulfilled the obligation of matzav, but not malol. Then, says Vigma, krachan besiv, if you wrap them up in some sort of a net, some sort of arm net, and then swallowed them, af yaday matzah nami lo yatzah, in that fashion, so even since the matzah itself didn't touch your mouth, that's not considered that you fulfilled the mitzvah. That's not considered eating. And the Shulchan Aruch brings us to halacha in kacham basiv ubalo af yaday matzah lo yatzah levi she'en derech la bakar. But if you wrap them together and you swallowed it, even the mitzvah of matzah you have not fulfilled. This is not the normal way of eating. And based on that, we see that you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. But based on that, the poskim are willing to say that maybe we could extend this to the question of if you have a forbidden substance as well, and it's wrapped up and it doesn't actually touch your mouth, that you haven't eaten that as well, so to speak, or that's not the normal method of eating, and that would be another leniency to rely on. And therefore, if you have a medicine where you have a problematic substance which is inside it, but it's in a capsule, that would be another reason to say that it would be okay based on this Gemara and based on Yachiezer, which is Ruchaim Ozer Grozhinsky. Again, if it's the wrapping up itself, the gelatin capsule itself, that is the question. So this wouldn't help much. But that's what he says. So just going back to Rabowski, what we mentioned before, you can see here in source number 14, this is the continuation of that halakha which we did earlier. However, Rabowski felt that soft gelatin capsules, which are often used for vitamins, fish oils, some over-the-counter medications, should not be used because the gelatin is soft and pliable. As I said, I think gelatin will probably have to leave for next week. That is a point of discussion. But nonetheless, he says Rabowski was concerned that swallowing gelatin in this form might not be considered an uncommon manner. And therefore, he said if one has no other alternative, he could recommend wrapping the capsule in tissue paper, which is an unusual manner of consumption, and then it would be okay. By the way, just to add, all these questions, we're talking about medicines, we're talking about usual, unusual. This is where you swallow them, where it goes through the mouth. If we're talking about something which is through a transfusion, an RV, thing like that, then there would be no questions of kashrut. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about toothpaste, and I think the other raw ingredients we're going to have to leave for next week. But we've discussed medicine up to now. There's also a question about whether toothpaste would require a hechsher. And again, most people would not eat toothpaste, but it is something that you may swallow a little bit, and certainly benefiting from the taste. So the primary concern over here, we mentioned glycerine before, we mentioned the Coca-Cola controversy, that very often glycerine is one of these substances which is in toothpaste. And if that comes from an animal source, that would be problematic. Again, I think, I don't know the most updated toothpaste manufacturing protocols, but with many things, there has been a tendency, over the last few years to move away as much as possible from the sourcing things from animals, and rather sourcing them from synthetic or other sources as well. So it could be that it's less of a question nowadays. Not sure. But there was this question, you know, and going back a number of years, about glycerin and toothpaste, which is an animal product, and it's certainly not Batel B'Shishim. Right? It's not 951 in 60. We're talking about a much higher ratio than that. Now, there's a heter of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky who said that even though it is not it's not Batel B'Shishim, it would still be allowed, and he says as follows. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky ruled that toothpaste containing glycerin were permissible, since the primary ingredient in toothpaste was calcium carbonate, which is inedible. And Rav Yaakov reasoned that the requirement of requiring 60 times the amount of heter in proportion to iso, Batel B'Shishim, which we've spoken about many times, did not apply to a non-food item. And this was his chiddush as well, that idea of Batel B'Shishim, it's where everything is going to be eaten. If it's not food, then we go back to the principle of bitul barov, and therefore in those days that would be okay. However, this is from the OU from the OU website, and this was written about 10 years ago, I think. And they said that nowadays things have changed somewhat, so the manufacture of toothpaste has changed since Rav Yaakov's Pesach. Calcium carbonate generally is no longer used. The most common abrasive today is hydrated silica, which is also inedible, but usually only composes 1/5 of toothpaste. Nowadays, the majority of raw materials in toothpaste would be edible, and therefore, seemingly, this heter may no longer apply. What we would rely on is a different answer. What we spoke about right at the beginning, I mentioned the idea of nifsam achlat kelev. This is based on the halacha of tam nifgam, which we've learned many times as well. The idea where you have a taste which is not does not add any qualitative flavor to the mixture, but really it is a detraction from the flavor. It causes a detriment. That would be allowed. We normally used to thinking of this idea of matan tam nifgam, of a pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours. And then we say that the absorbed taste within the pot becomes a blemished taste. But really, before that, it would apply this idea of a blemished taste to any food substance where it doesn't, non-food substance, but anything which is edible, which one is going to swallow, one is going to taste. And this is the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. Marava hilchata matan tam nifgam mutar, something which gives a the sort of blemished taste, would be permitted. Now, it gets a little bit complicated because, you know, when we say a blemished taste, obviously there are different levels we could have. You know, there's a pot of soup that's just a little bit too salty. Would that be called tam nifgam, or something that you really can't eat? There are different levels on this. The Shulchan Aruch goes through, and also when it comes to mixtures, there are different different rulings as well. So he says like this: so anything which is the taste is going to be contaminated. It's not going to, if it falls into a mixture, it's not going to make it forbidden. Now, what is this contamination that we're talking about in Halacha Bet? We're not talking about something which is completely disgusting that you could never eat it. Even if it is, contaminates a little, doesn't forbid the whole mixture. We said like this. We said there are two. When we talk about notein tam lifgam, a contaminated taste, you know, we could mean that something is, you know, just a little bit sour, or we could mean that something, you know, can't be eaten at all. So the first opinion that the Shulchan Aruch brings is that when something is added to a mixture, if it's notein tam lifgam, even if it's just a little bit, even if it just makes it a little bit contaminated, that you could still eat it, that would be okay. However, the second opinion that he brings is that when we say that would only be if there is a small, very, very small amount of this forbidden substance. Again, not there's no Batel B'Shishim, but then there's a small amount, and it falls into the substance, then even if it's just a little bit pagum, that would be okay. However, but if it's certainly if it's the majority, or if it's even if it's 50-50, we could only rely on this leniency of tam lifgam if it's actually fgam legamre, that is not edible at all, and it's not edible at all to be eaten. Because when we get to toothpaste, so there's a question as to how we judge it. Most people would not eat a toothpaste, and swallow it. But some poskim are a little bit more machmir because it does at the end of the day does have a pleasant taste, and if you swallow a little bit of it, it could be okay. Nonetheless, Rav Sif Pesach Frank, Rav Sif Pesach Frank over here, he relies on this heter. He relies on this heter, and he says that the toothpaste does not require a, actually, it's a lamb, but it's not a dan, yesh la til, shum shen kan ela teima, below bliya. It's not something that somebody would eat. You just, you may taste it, but you're not actually swallowing it. Yeah, and then he said basically those two considerations together, based on the fact that you don't normally swallow it and that it's a vapagum, that would be enough. And the truth is that nowadays I think many toothpastes one can get and they are kosher and there are no problems there. And thus most of the poskim would say that if it can be easily acquired, as we said right at the beginning, without any problems, any questions, that's better. If it can't be, a person in a place and that's the only toothpaste they can have, then the poskim say that one can use it and one should try not to swallow it. I mean, try not to swallow it anyway. That's brought over here in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. With the answer number 21, somebody once asked him, "Emzoch shemishchat shinaim asabonyim echsher? Does toothpaste need to come with echsher?" And he said, "If you have it with the echsher, so then why not?" And they said, "No, you can't get." And he said, "Okay, then you should be careful not to swallow it, because there might be a bit of halal that's coming from swallowing that toothpaste." Okay, we'll end it off here tonight with the non-food products. Next week, discuss a little bit more. We'll carry on with this year. We'll carry on a little bit more with the honey. Also, we'll talk about the shellac, which is the glaze, which is used to coat some of the fruits and vegetables, and gelatine as well.